This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Awesome. We just pray and then we can start with a song. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've made. We thank you for these beautiful people, and we thank you that you're with us and that you're in this place, Father. We want to worship you today. We want to sing songs that bring you glory. And come work in our hearts, Father. Move in our hearts. And we trust that your Holy Spirit will guide us today and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin.
The good news for the shame. There's good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter. The one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer.
Riches for the poor. He is friendship for the one the world ignores. He is pasture for the weary, rest for those who strive. Oh, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life.
Seats just for a moment. We have some announcements and then we'll continue. And during the worship, if there's anyone who has a word, who feels the Holy Spirit leading them with a picture, or you want to share something to someone or to the church, please go to Dakyan or Renee, and then we will, in between the songs, you can really share it. And don't be scared. Just let the Holy Spirit lead us today. Awesome. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful service once again. We lay everything at your feet. And we come to you humbly, Father, and we give you what we have, as Banesha said. It may not be much, Father, but we give you our hearts, we give you our bodies, our spirits, Father, and we submit to your dominion, Father. We yearn for you, Father. We yearn for the real thing, Father. And we really just yearn to worship you in a way that is pleasing to you, Father. And as we sing these words, Father, may we remind ourselves of who you are, Father, that you are much higher, that you are the one who conquered, that you are the one who rescues us. May we sing these words, not with empty hearts or empty minds, but with faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain.
God breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow
before the Lion and the Lamb.
Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare no trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of
thank you. What I felt during this song is, I don't know if we can perhaps repeat it, that through the storm your anchor holds. And who is your anchor? What holds you through the storm? Because we're all going through storms. And I felt, and then the end of the song says it so beautiful. What is our anchor? So I think when we sing it, if we may sing it again, then we just think of, is this really your anchor? What is your anchor? And that you can just surrender it to God if it was not God. And ask Him to be your anchor.
Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within.
Felt a scripture that I was reading that also just goes along with the song. It's 1 Peter 2. It says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If you indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That has become our cornerstone. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Amen.
Thank you, Marco. It's going to be a little bit different today in that way that I haven't got a sermon, because the Lord said there's no sermon today. So for me to come over here, to stand over here without a sermon, Renee's happy. But we're trusting the Holy Spirit this afternoon. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us. Not only through me, it could be through the music, it could be through words and visions and pictures of as well, but also through you. So if there's any picture what you get, if there's any word what you get, and if it may be the very, very first time that you say there's a certain word that comes back into my mind again and you don't know what to do with it, come over here, bring it over here. It maybe doesn't say anything for you. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to speak the first time to you today in this sermon. that we can allow the Holy Spirit and that we can allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, because this is how life should be. So we're practicing a little bit today. So maybe you're very confused and you say, no, I don't know. All the doors are closed. Can I get out of here? No. This is how God wants to work. He wants to put the Holy Spirit in our heart. He wants the Holy Spirit to be in our heart, that we can be the temple for the Holy Spirit. But it's for us to decide if we are going to allow the Holy Spirit. Now I'm asking a question. Is there anyone this afternoon over here who never asked God to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Who never asked God and said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Is there anyone here this afternoon? Please, just raise your hand. It's none like this. Okay. Don't be scared. That's what Renee says. Then I'm going to ask something else. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask all of us to lift our hands as a funnel, that we actually open our hands and lift them up. That we lift up, that we're not going to keep our hands somewhere else here on the earth, but that we point our hands to the Lord. And if we say, Lord, we have been filled up with the Holy Spirit, but we ask you, Lord, and we pray, we come to you as your children to fill us again, Father, to fill us up again with your Holy Spirit. And I'm repenting on behalf of myself and maybe repenting on behalf of some of you as well, that, Father, it happens so easy that we are quenching the Holy Spirit, that we're doing things because we think it has got to be done that way, and where we are limiting the Holy Spirit to work through us. And Father, I repent of it. And I pray, Lord, that I'm really not going to do it again, that I will allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me, that I will allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, Father. And I pray, Lord, as the hands are lifted up, Father, as they are a type of a funnels, Father, that you're going to fill them up with your Holy Spirit, Father. Fill them up with your precious Holy Spirit, Father, that we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, that we can allow the Holy Spirit to give us pictures, to give us words, that we can share it with each other, that we can be excited about it, that God is with us through His Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now, that's where this microphone is all about, that we can hear from you.
Yeah, but I don't know what to say, but when they were playing the music, I heard Bring Your Confession, and I was thinking, oh, we are going to have a sermon. But now that I'm here, I'm Esther, and what happened in my life is that I'm not raised up with a religious background. So in 2013, I had a terrible divorce, and I have a son of 15 now, but a lot of attacks. And I came into a church, and then I first was very hurt or touched by the music and by the sermon, and I was always crying. But I see now, after 7 years, my walk with God is different. Before, it was only during church time and sometimes at home when I play the music. But this last half year, 1 year, I really put myself in the overgave. Yeah, to really cry out to Him. Okay. And He always answers. That's so, yeah, it has to do with our heart condition, hartgesteldheid. He really wants a personal relationship with us. And I see Him now. Before, it was my mother was like here for me. And now Lord Jesus is for me the first one in my life. And I remark that I don't need to talk to people about my worries, but He's always there to listen and to fulfill, and He always answers. He always touches you so deep that you feel His joy and his His comfort and His, when you're in pain, cry out to Him, and He always answers with such deep love. Yeah, that's my confession. I have a lot to tell, but for today is enough.
Thanks a lot, Esther. Yeah, what I'm hearing is what you're saying, that we've got to confess that there are certain things which are not right. Let's pray. Father, yes, we've got to confess. We've got to confess that we're not always making You our anchor, as what we've been singing in a previous song. We've got to confess of it, Father, that we simply put our trust in other things which we can see, because You are sometimes not visible. We can experience You, but it's so much easier to put our trust in something what we can see. Maybe it's our work, maybe it is our bank account, maybe it's our car, maybe it's our house, maybe it's even our wife or our husband. But Father, that it is, that we've got to surrender again, that we've got to say, Lord, we only want to put our trust in You. And as I'm praying, and if this is applicable for you, please feel free to raise your hand that you can pray along with me. Father, I want to surrender. I want to surrender to You again. That it is not about my life, but it is about You. You through my life. Father, I want to totally surrender. Not 80% or maybe 85 or maybe 99. No, Lord. 100% I want to surrender to You. Because You've got eternal life. With You we've got an everlasting God. And this is what we want to have, Father. Father, I surrender. I repent of the things which I held for myself. And I'm giving them back to You and say, no, I don't want to have them. I only want to follow You. I surrender totally to You. Thank You, Father, that I can allow You to come into my life and to take over my life 100%. In Jesus' name, amen.
I saw a picture of strong pillars all over whilst we were going through the session, and I have the impression that the Lord is releasing strength onto us, and confessions, weaknesses, whatever that we are struggling with. You don't want to miss this moment, because the presence of the Lord is here, and I see strength being released. He says it's going to be your defense and your fortress. So this is what I saw. There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness, rose again, victorious. Faith none can deny, through the storm, through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, You are Lord of all.
Jesus, You
let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
Let your name,
let your name. Jesus, you are Lord of all. But you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you.
Gave me a message to give to you all. God is asking, do you trust me? Sorry, I was reminded of the past year in my life where something happened. My youngest brother passed away, and it raised a lot of questions for me. And at that point, I had to ask God to hold me because I knew that I couldn't hold him anymore, and he did. Things are a lot better between me and God now, and if God asks you, do you trust me? It is sometimes hard, and I think in this time where we live in with many questions, and I think everyone besides COVID and all that's going on has their own personal struggles, or you see someone in your that you love struggle, and can be so painful and raise a lot of questions, or I don't have to name a lot of ideas about it. You all know it for yourself. But if God asks, do you trust me? What can be so helpful is to just worship him, and we don't have to pretend for that. We can come with our brokenness, our tears, our questions, and still put on a song and sing the words and worship him. We know one thing that says in the Bible, that God is trustworthy, and on that we can stand.
Let's just sing that, let your name be lifted high again. Over your circumstances, over everything in your life, over the distractions, we just sing, Jesus, let your name be lifted higher. Let your name be the loudest voice in my head. Let your name be above all others. And it is. We sing it.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
We sing.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
Evening, everyone. My name is Christo. And in the worship, there was a wonderful vision of how the power of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, breaks the chains. Breaks the chains. And I saw chains that are binding us. I saw chains that are weighing us down, keeping us back from living the fullness that God has for us, the fullness of life, the chains that are binding us and breaking us. And yes, there is spiritual bondage. There is spiritual bondage, but the thing that God really laid on my heart were the lies that we believe about ourselves. The lies that we believe about God. The lies that we believe that is keeping us from fully giving ourselves to the Lord. And what a wonderful the light shining through, just a wonderful image of the light shining through. God is truth, God is love. And by accepting the truth about ourselves and by seeking the truth about God through His Word, we can break the chains. We can find that release. We can feel light. We can feel free.
So I saw two pictures, and I told God, ugh, I don't want to stand up there. And then I just thought to myself, He made me a teacher, so I might as well stand up there. The first picture I saw was, when we were singing Be Lifted Higher, was that we all actually rose like Jesus, and we turned into birds, which were meant to fly all over His kingdom and to, preach to other people, to bring them to Him. And that is the first picture I saw. The second was just that Jesus' love and God's light like fills us up. And I don't really know how to describe it, but I just felt like from the very tip of my toe to the very top of my head, I was filled with something like a glass of milk. And I just think it reminded me that, through everything, doesn't matter what you're going through or those questions you have or what's wrong, is that you're always filled with that love. And as long as you worship and praise God, is that will always be there, and He won't ever just walk away from you.
I will fall at your feet.
ended your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. We praise, lifting on high from death to life forever. Our God. Rescue the world, this is our God. And I will fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I
many things on my mind, and I couldn't focus on just God. And I asked him, like, what do I do about this? How can I focus solely on you? And he said, write down every single thing that's on your mind and put it in a box and give it to me. And I wrote down everything on little note cards in a nice little box. And I just put it away, and I was like, now I can give everything to God, and whether it be something you're going through, worries, little things in your life, you can always give it to God and say, okay, I can't carry this on my own, but I trust that you're gonna carry it for me. So I encourage you, whether it be now or if you go home, to do the same thing, write it down and give it to God.
I'm not quite sure if there are any more people who want to bring a picture. And maybe it's the first time that you get a picture. Maybe it's the first time that you get a word. Maybe it's the first time. Come. This is now. Don't feel bad about it. Talk.
So I saw a picture of a bridge. And it was a bit odd because there was nothing the bridge was going over. So there was no water. And basically, there was no reason for the bridge to be there. And I was asking God, like, what does it mean? Like, what is the bridge? What does it stand for? And I thought the bridge was like my own plans or our own plans. And it takes a lot of effort to go up the bridge. And there's no reason to, because you could just go straight. But we really want like our own plans, and they sound good, and you know, we think they're gonna give us an amazing life, and but it takes a lot of strength and effort. And and I also saw like a little flower under the bridge, and I thought maybe that flower was, you know, what you were supposed to find, and you didn't find it because you thought like let's do my own plans and let's go over the bridge. And I thought I just thought God was saying, like, you know, wait for me, wait for my plans. And because otherwise you might just miss the thing that I have for you. And it's not about, you know, putting a lot of effort. Like, I will pave the way for you. So that's what I saw.
So during worship, I got a word from God. It was actually more a picture that I saw, which I thought was this picture of Elijah and the 300 Baal prophets. And I thought, well, this is weird. And I was actually more focused on, you know, why am I seeing these noisy Baal prophets? And it's as if God reminded me, but I thought it was 300. I had a quick read now, and it's actually 450 of what a noise these guys must have made from morning till evening, trying to raise their God, and nothing happened. And it took one faithful guy, named Elijah, who prayed, and God rained fire from heaven. And I think that's God just telling me again, and I'm sure everybody, but there's a lot of noise out there at the moment, a lot of stuff happening morning till evening, but His children, if we're faithful and seek Him, He will rain fire from heaven.
We're going to give you a short break. Is there something you want to say, Peter? Okay.
Hello, everybody. I just want to just confess about the Lord's greatness. I think just looking at this year, with me and my wife, we moved to the Netherlands in January, which was great. But when we left, I believe the darkness or the devil really made an assault on my family. We left the South Africa quite in a bad state back home. There's a lot of stuff happening between myself, my mother, and my sister. So it went so far that, me and my sister, we didn't speak for about 10 months or so. And, my dad couldn't understand that, so he was quite mad at my mother, or there's some stuff there. And, throughout the year, I prayed for my sister, and for my family, and I forgave my sister for what I felt in my heart. Then there was one week where I really, just made like it a priority, not just to pray, but like and really, really pray hard for it, me and Melissa. And I think that was the same weekend where my sister, her husband, and her children came to visit my parents, so it was quite awkward back home. Just on the same weekend that I really started praying for my sister and my relationship between my parents, my sister's youngest daughter, she's about 3 years old, somewhere she also slept with my mother, so seeing them not too much, so we had some good quality time. Sister's daughter, she laid awake one night and there was a painting on the wall somewhere for me, my sister, and my brother. And she says, Grandma, the babies, which is me, its lips is moving on the painting. And she says, no, Nicolette, go to bed. And the second time she said, no, his lips is moving. And my mother just said, no, just sleep, Nicolette. Which I just believe somewhere she saw, I don't know, the Lord let her see that there's someone praying for this family. And I think that was the weekend, the Wednesday, we had a small group meeting, me and Henry and Derek and my Melissa was somewhere in a park. And it was in this time that we prayed for it. And I told I just shared with him, it's not going too great back home. That was the Wednesday. And I do not know exactly, but like let's say for a time my mother and my dad did not speak to each other, and on the Friday my mom didn't also not know how, like, made an effort of really praying for them. But on the Friday, my mom just sent out of the blue a message, the silence is broken between my dad and herself. And also just a bit further in, I felt like the Lord just pressed on my heart, just send a message to, at that time it was my husband of my sister, but just within a few days, me and my sister started talking. She had quite a few stuff that she felt in her heart I didn't do right. And the Lord just pressed on my heart, I'll just say sorry for each one of them. And that's exactly what I did. And me and my sister, we're on a good foot again. And my dad and my mom is in a very good place. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know what you're praying for, what you're going through, but the Lord is listening. He's always listening, and He will come through. And you just keep praying and with a good, intentional heart, and the Lord always comes through.
We're just going to give a little bit of relief for the praise and worship team. So I just want to share a little bit about a certain scripture. And if there's, in the meantime, still something that the Lord is sharing with you, then we'll give the microphone just now to you. It's out of Matthew 22. And the one which the Lord gave to me is verse 8. And it was, "And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" And it's about a wedding. It's about a wedding, what Jesus is telling a parable. And what is happening is that people are invited for the wedding. And it starts in verse 2, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." And immediately it clicks for us, that marriage, what we read about in Revelation, that beautiful song as well, about that marriage on a glassy sea. And then the father sends out the messages, and he says, "Go and invite the people. Tell them, my son is going to get married. Come, you're invited." And then he sent out the servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. They knew about the king, but they were not willing to come. They were disobedient. They were not listening to the voice over there. Again, he sent out servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, 'See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle are killed, and all the things are ready. Come to the wedding.'" So everything is ready for the wedding. The people have got to come now. This is where he is waiting for. But they make light of it. They didn't see it as important, made light of it, and went their ways. We've heard it a few times this afternoon. It's so easy that we're going our own ways. The two things which are mentioned over here, the one is a farmer, and the other one is a business person. And they went their ways, one to his own farm, and the other one to his business. They felt that that is more important as what they're going to go to the wedding of the king. That was not that important. "And the rest seized his servants, treated him spitefully, and killed him." So that's even happening as well. And we can see the parallel between the prophets, which God has been sending. They were murdered at certain times, even of the people who brought the good message. In our time, we also know that they've been murdered for bringing that message of inviting people into that wedding. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed the murderers, and burned the city. The city was burned. Jerusalem was burned afterwards by the Romans. God used the enemy to burn Jerusalem. because they were not obedient. They didn't want to listen to him. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." They were not worthy because they were not prepared to listen to the voice of the king. To be worthy. We know that song of Chris Tomlin where he's singing, "Is he worthy? Is he worthy?" Then he's talking about Jesus. Is Jesus? Jesus is the only one worthy, opening up the scrolls. But worthy, worthy that you can be invited to the wedding, to the royal wedding over there. "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So the first invitation was sent to the Jews. And now God says the Gentiles are also invited. Go and invite anyone. Anyone who you want to invite. Anyone who's prepared to listen. We can give that invitation. Because that's that invitation what we can give. God is going to have a wedding in heaven. And he's inviting you. Now, if we were going to go to the people and we say, "I want to invite you to for a wedding." Or if we're going to tell them about Jesus, I think they may be more interested in the first one. That they say, "Yes, if there's a party, I'll come." There is going to be a party, an everlasting party in heaven. "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. Normally, in the language, we would say good and bad. But over here, it's bad and good. It doesn't matter if you're bad. It doesn't matter what your history is. Jesus died for it at the cross. And then you can go. You can be invited into the for the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways, like I said, and the bad and the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came into to see the guests, he basically came in to inspect. He saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. We can read out of this that it must have been a custom that as you are invited to the wedding, that you put on a certain garment. And we know that the garment in the Bible often is reflecting your status. The blind man, when he called for Jesus, he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus said, "You can come," he stood up, threw his garment off, which indicated that he was blind, because he knew he was going to be saved by Jesus, and he was going to be getting light again. He's going to see again. And this is what's happening over here as well. But when the king came into the guest, in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. He was not ready. And a wedding garment is on the outside showing how is your inside. Have you been baptized? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? This man not. And he was walking over there. And the king went to him. So he said to him, the king then said to the one who didn't have that wedding garment, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" So he's very friendly. He's not, "What are you doing here?" "Friend, how did you get in? How did you come in here with a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. The English word is muzzled. He couldn't say anything because he didn't have an excuse. He knew he wasn't ready. He knew he didn't have, or couldn't, he was actually not allowed to be there. And then the king said to the servants, now we hear the same servants again, and then we think it's the same servants as those who went out to give the invitations. But this is another servant. The first servants are more the slaves who went out and obeyed what the king was telling them to do. But the second slave servants, the Greek word is diakonos. It means the people who are working in the church. So God is giving instruction to the people who are working in the church. And the king said to those people, "Bind him hand and foot." Now, if you bind hand and foot, you cannot get back because you cannot walk. But you also cannot do something with your hands that you can work yourself back into that situation. You cannot come back. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. We heard about it last week. God is light, which means the person is removed from God, is removed from God's presence. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping because the person is disappointed. The person is sad of what happened over there. But then also where the teeth are gnashing then is as a result that they've got pain. And that is the place where we do not want to be, because that's where darkness is. And then Jesus finishes off this parable with saying, for many are called, but few are chosen. There are only a few who actually accept the invite to this royal wedding. And God is inviting all of us to a wedding, to the royal wedding of his Son, Jesus Christ, the wedding of his Son with the church. And all of us are invited over there. It's not a matter of that it is only if you've got a certain length or width, or if you've done only certain crimes that you are allowed to go into heaven, that you first have got to repent of it. No. It's available for each and every one. You don't have to be in a certain... The only thing what you've got to do, you've got to repent. You've got to accept Jesus Christ, that he died for you at the cross. And this is the beautiful thing what God is doing. He's inviting us to a wedding. Who doesn't want to go to a party? Nowadays, everyone wants to go to a party because you don't want to miss it out, because the law is forbidding you actually to have a party. But this is a party which is going to last forever and ever. And we're going to be in the presence of the King. And that is the message what we also can give to other people. There's going to be a wedding. You are invited. Let's stand. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you as a King invite us to that wedding of Jesus and the church. That we can be present over there, but we know what the qualifications are. The qualifications are not that we can spend time on other things what we think are important. No, we've got to put you first. We heard it earlier this afternoon. Only you. If other things are keeping us busy, we've got to get rid of them. Write them down and put them away. That they're not bothering us anymore. That we can focus on you. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for that invitation. Thank you for also for the assurance that we've got, that we know that we, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and if we can say to you, our Father, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to be our helper, then we are sure that we are going to go to heaven. And maybe you're here this afternoon and you say, yes, that invitation, I've heard about it, but I've never made that decision in my life. I've never said to God, the King, I want to come to that wedding because I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never made that public declaration. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you and that you would like to make that decision this afternoon, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. If you want to accept the invitation of God, the King, for the royal wedding by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm inviting you to raise your hand now. Can I do a bold thing now and ask you to come forward?
God said there are some lonely people in this church. I might be even one of them. God said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, actually, Jesus said that in the Bible, but the verse God gave me. And I want to encourage you, if you feel lonely, take time with God. There is a lot of encouragements in the Bible. And then also, this is a lovely church with lovely people. Feel free to try and step out to someone or me if you want and say, hey, you know what? I feel lonely and I don't know, we can do coffee or something. And then to the rest of the church, God said, That he did not leave us without weapons, and it says in the Bible, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and in this time I think we can feel powerless, but that's a lie of the enemy. We have power. What can we do? We can go on our knees, we can pray, we can speak the word of God, and God gave each and every one of you different talents and gifts, and we should take time with God, learn about them, grow in them, and use them. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes, see wonders. Show me who you are. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. In
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you all things, and to you all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.